This is Neijing Now, prioritizing well-being. Neijing is the vitality that shields us from disease. Neijing Now, demystifying medicine, cultivating resilience, empowering host resistance, prioritizing primary prevention. I'm Dr. Jayashree Chander. I welcome you to another short clip exploring Neijing Now. Dr. Miller, welcome back to Neijing Now.
Thank you very much for having me back.
It's election time, and I want to know your perspective as a political scientist on how the candidates' policies will impact our health and well-being.
Well, I think there's a little question that Barack Obama's policies would be a preferable one in terms of health. For one is, I mean, if, for example, Romney does repeal, as he said he would try to repeal it, the Affordable Care Act, you not only lose a lot of benefits that have now gone into effect, other ones will go into effect in 2014, but you also, and a lot of people don't realize this, that Medicare will lose a lot of benefits as well. There was a lot of changes in Medicare that provided increased services, particularly in the preventative area, that won't be there if the Affordable Care Act is actually repealed.
What are the preventive services that are part of the Affordable Care Act as it currently stands?
All the preventative services that are recommended by the Prevention Task Force, and all those services are available from Medicare without a deductible or copayment. And one example is a physical each year. Medicare never had any physical because Medicare was considered for sickness when it was passed in 1965. And consequently, just a couple years ago, because people were saying we should have an exam and so forth, Medicare introduced one exam, and it was called Welcome to Medicare, and it had to be done in the first 6 months. And after that, Medicare did not have an exam. So if individuals want an exam, a preventative wellness kind of exam each year, they would either have to pay for it out of their own pocket or their insurer would pay for it.
And that's expensive.
And it's expensive. And now that's all included within Medicare. So not only would you get the exam, but your insurance rates can go down because things that your supplemental insurance would have ordinarily covered no longer have to cover this. It's covered through Medicare. Another example out of the preventative area is in the drug area. One of the complaints about the drug benefit, which was passed in Medicare in 2003, was that there was this donut hole. So in other words, your drug benefit picks up in the first couple $1,000s, then you're entirely responsible for all the cost of your drugs. And then after about $4,000, then they will pick up 95% of it. But that middle was called the donut hole. Well, under the Affordable Care Act, that donut hole is closed over a 10-year period.
That's awesome because you can rack up a bill for $2,000 in drugs so fast because all those drugs are so expensive.
The donut hole closes within 10-year period, but even right immediately, if you get a brand name drug, you only have to pay, it was originally half. Now you only have to pay about 35 to 40% of the cost of the brand name drug. In generic drugs, you do have to pay, I think it's about 75%. But eventually, over a 10-year period, you will have to pay nothing because it will be covered under the Affordable Care Act.
That's very impressive. And I do think that a lot of people don't know about that aspect of the Affordable Care Act. And, you know, Romney obviously is very committed to repealing the Affordable Care Act. That's not going to be great for preventing problems.
And even out of the Medicare, many preventative benefits were included on your private insurance. But like the rest of the benefits on most people's private insurance, you had a deductible and or a copayment. Well, under the Affordable Care Act, there can be no deductible or payment for any preventative services.
That's very significant because these preventive services can catch things early, can help you prevent bigger problems and more complicated situations in the future if you catch things early.
Right. And it's not only good for health, but their argument is it's good financially because it's much cheaper to do a colonoscopy and to cut out a polyp than to treat colon cancer.
Absolutely. So in terms of preserving the Affordable Care Act and perhaps even improving the Affordable Care Act, because from my perspective, it's a little bit limited in the transition that we need to make in health insurance. I would have liked to have seen it move further away from the private insurance industry, but it's a definite first step.
Actually, what a lot of people don't realize, that under the Affordable Care Act, for individuals who get individual insurance in the exchanges, there will be a federal administered insurance that will be available to everyone. This will be administered by the Office of Personnel in the U.S. government. You know, people talked about not having a public option. Well, there isn't technically a public option, but technically there is.
They're not advertising that, are they?
No. But all the dimensions of it haven't been decided on.
That's great. So what about other aspects of our health, happiness, well-being? The economy is a big focus, but GDP isn't everything, right?
Right. For example, pollution. Romney would like to cut back on a lot of our regulations, particularly EPA regulations, because his argument is that this is stifling business and that we can't have this. Well, in fact, is that under Obama, they haven't had actually a lot of regulations. I mean, a lot of people think they have, but they actually have not. But he would like to see some regulations in the pollution area, and has done things such as requiring cars to get, I think it was 40-some miles to the gallon, which then would reduce air pollution from automobiles, as well as demand for oil. Romney was opposed to that because he said we can't make demands that cannot be technologically met by car companies, even though car companies had said that by the time these go into effect, that they will be able to meet these standards.
Well, my understanding was that at least 10 or 15 years ago, that car companies actually were capable of making cars that could go 60 miles per gallon. But there's pressure from other vested interests to not have such fuel-efficient cars.
Right. There are more efficient technologies, and the question is whether they're cost-effective. But even without increasing the CAFE standards a lot, car companies have been increasing the amount of miles that you get because of demands by people, putting out more of these hybrid cars. But Romney made the point of saying that we shouldn't have done that. He also made the point, which is going to bite him right now, and that was at the convention, was against the concern about climate change. He said that the president cannot be concerned about climate change. Now with lots of different things happening, but most notably Sandy, the hurricane, there's an increased concern that this is being brought by climate change. And the mayor of New York, Bloomberg, who had been a Republican and now is an independent, but he had said some time ago that he was not going to endorse either candidate. He changed his mind a couple of days ago and now has endorsed Barack Obama. And his primary argument was a concern about climate change.
Absolutely. I mean, I think there is something to be clarified about what's good for business isn't necessarily good for us as human beings. There's a conflict sometimes between what's good for business, and particularly big business, and what's good for creating a life that is healthy and happy and fulfilling.
Right. And just to illustrate the need for regulations, and that's of these compounding labs. And these compounding labs are used all over the country. And the one has now caused all these meningitis cases. Well, the FDA is not the primary regulator of these. It's the state. But people are arguing that the lack of strong regulations of these compounding labs, well, we do inspect drug companies, but we're not inspecting these compounding labs. And so we shut down the one in Boston, now two in Boston. And then we had shut down one in Florida. Frank's was a very, very big compounding lab selling all over the country. It had some problems with horses that died in their veterinarian one about 3 years ago. And then this year, they had problems with drugs that were used in the eye for various eye surgery and blinded people. The FDA finally came into that one. But that illustrates the need for regulation in that area as well as other areas. If you move out of the health areas, we can see need for regulations in the financial area. Look what happened in this financial crisis. One can't say that these companies can operate without regulations that would hurt lots and lots of people as they have.
There's a common fear amongst a lot of people about just the word regulation. People think that when you have regulations, you're restricting freedoms. But you have to think about businesses as sort of adolescents, and they need rules. They need to be disciplined to make sure that they're not running amok and creating havoc.
Right. You need regulations. And regulations are needed no matter what it is. If you have a competitive market, then there may be a tendency to cut corners to be able to compete in the market, and you need regulations so that everybody's on the same playing field. If you don't have a competitive market, then the company will still try to maintain their profit, but will also try to cut corners. And the only entity really is the government, unless there's some self-regulation there, but the government coming in and government saying for health, safety, or economic security, these are regulations we have. And but a lot of people don't realize the president that introduced the largest number of regulations, including developing the EPA and so forth, was Richard Nixon. Coming back to the economic area, there, you know, there's a criticism of Dodd-Frank, and again, coming back to the election, Romney says he would like to repeal Dodd-Frank. Well, Dodd-Frank was a needed regulation to regulate banks and financial companies to avoid what happened in the right before Barack Obama came in and Bush administration.
The take-home message is that regulations aren't as bad or as evil as a lot of people think. Regulations are a necessary part of having a competitive marketplace, and that regulations doesn't necessarily mean anti-freedom.
No, and I think one of the problems that businesses have, and this is a true problem, if regulations are not stable, if the regulations continually change.
Yeah, it's like having parents who have pretty steady expectations and rules and regulations. And if the parents are always changing their rules and regulations, the teenagers really don't know what's expected of them.
Right, right. Regulations are typically not closed many businesses. And big businesses are certainly able to deal with the regulations. Sometimes it's what businesses want to do where they can make more money, where the regulation may block them. But whenever there's a regulation, there's also gaming the system, getting around these particular regulations. We've seen this most notably in the finance area. And we repealed the Glass-Steagall Act, which separated out investment from banking. Well, because of the repeal of that act, banks were able to speculate and do all kinds of things with money. And then they wound up with tremendous problems, as we saw. I mean, it's almost unbelievable that big banks such as the Bank of America, you know, Citigroup, really didn't understand what they were doing. And when they found out there was a problem, all of a sudden it was like a house of cards that fell.
Yeah, absolutely. So for the undecided voter, which candidate's policies are really going to make most of the people happiest and healthiest?
Well, in the happy and healthy part of it, quite clearly, it would be Barack Obama. Because here he's talking about dealing with various problems, whether it's in pollution area or healthcare area. While if you look at the Romney policies, it's basically reducing taxes on businesses and it's been called the trickle-down approach. Now, even if there's a market there, and you could argue economically businesses will do a bit better, the fact is there's no question that the market, even if it operates efficiently, the market has never preserved health, safety, and welfare or equality. And we've gotten much more inequality, which is a real problem in the United States. Well, his approach would make this inequality clearly worse. You can just simply look at the worker's pay versus the CEO pay. Now, the CEO is going to get more than a worker. That's pretty obvious. But if you look at the differential between the CEO and the worker, it has widened. If you look at Europe, for example, you don't see that differential changing very much over a period of time. The other side of the coin is that our safety net in the United States is deteriorating. And plus, the fact is, if you were in a job, previously you got a pension. Now there are very few pensions that are being created. If they give anything, it's defined contribution. So your employer gives a specific amount, and then it's invested in the market. If the market does well, you can be all right. If the market doesn't do well, you're in bad shape. Coming back to presidential candidates, the fact is that the Romney-Ryan plan for Medicare is exactly that. They want to move it from a defined benefit plan, which is Medicare, to a defined contribution plan, which is their voucher plan.
All right. Well, you've said it. You've stated the facts, and we've got Election Day coming up in a couple of days, and it sounds like Obama's policies are going to be better for our health and happiness.
Yes, and in many states, you can vote before Election Day to avoid the crowds.
Thank you, Dr. Miller, for your offering your perspective on what's going to be best for us.
Glad that I could be here.
I'm Dr. Jayashree Chander, creator of Nanjing Now, a podcast about prioritizing well-being, on the web at neijingnow.org. Neijing Now is independent and entirely listener-supported. If you enjoyed the clip, please share it with your friends. Like us on Facebook and donate generously. Your support is essential to keeping Neijing Now alive.